This is the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. This podcast is about sharing our journeys into liberty through self-sufficiency, off-grid living, non-compliance, counter-economics, and the Agora. Every episode will contain useful, practical, and applicable information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. This information is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered legal or financial advice. You could even consider it to be fictional if you choose. Before we start the show, I want to remind you about The Hitching Post, our free bi-weekly newsletter all about liberty through self-sufficiency and counter-economics. To sign up, go to offgridagorist.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes. Thanks. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. I am your host, Regina, and I'm here with Cyrus.
Hello.
The Moonshine Master. I know you wouldn't consider yourself a master, but I call you the Moonshine Master.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a whole podcast going on. You've got a social media group going on. You've got an event coming up. Like, you're going all in on this moonshine thing, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we awesome group over there on MeWe. We're doing a YouTube channel where different members of the groups are going to submit videos. We're going to have like a community created YouTube channel. We got an event that we're doing where we're all going to get together for a weekend at the end of summer and make shine together, and a lot of fun yeah. Shit going on over there
in person. Like, you're going to do an in-person live event.
Hell yeah. It's going to be a blast.
Go to stillintheclear.com. Still in the clear. Not I in the clear, just an N. I hate that, by the way. I hate that you omitted the I. Like, I can't handle it.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, so we, Cody and I had a huge triumph this past week.
Yeah?
Yeah, we built a 30-foot by 45-foot crop fortress. Not just a cage. This is beyond a cage. It's a freaking fortress. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, that thing is awesome.
Yeah.
Finally got that finished.
Yes, and we planted over 300 plants.
You got some babies in the ground?
We do, yeah. 300 of them are in the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're going to have...
You're going to have so much food.
I'm so excited that we're going to have healthy, organic, heirloom produce. We're going to can it, freeze it, dehydrate it, powder it, sun dry it, like any way you can possibly, you know, ferment it.
Yeah.
pickle it, like everything. Salsa, sauce, paste. Yeah. And then we're probably going to do a little agorism booth at the farmer's market. There's a couple farmer's markets we found that are agorist friendly. No reporting, no permitting, all that BS. So probably do a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Cody did an amazing job. He engineered and built pretty much damn near the whole thing. And I was a support personnel. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And when you're 5 foot tall, you're not like the greatest support personnel when it comes to, you know, framing and stuff, but we did all right.
You do what you can.
We did what we could. Yeah. So here we are. We're going to go over an email that we got from a wonderful listener.
Yeah. Or reader. I don't even know if he's he or she. I don't want to call him out and identify him. I think like this is either a brilliant piece of comedy, like I don't know which, like really good comedy is the kind of comedy where you go, are they joking? Like, is this a joke? And you can't tell if they're joking or not, you know?
So you're unsure. You're unsure if he's being very sarcastic and joking or if he's actually being real.
I think he's probably real. I'm giving him her, you know, whatever. I'm just giving them more credit.
Okay, you eliminated 50% of the population by saying him. Okay, that leaves us with 3 billion people. I think it's identified as
anybody out.
I'm not going to say his name, and I'm sure it's a pseudonym anyways, but
yeah, anyway, I'm pretty sure he's serious. I was just kind of making a joke myself, but
because he had a question if he was serious. That's how bizarre this email is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't read anyway, it. Anyway,
it's a lot of fun. And we posted it over in the Applied Agorism group for people to see. And
on MeWe.com.
On MeWe.com, right. Anyway, so it was so fun. And we thought we would just make an episode just about the email.
Yeah. That's how much it touched our hearts to devote a whole episode to this email.
Yeah.
So I have not read the email. So this is going to be like all new to me. And right. This email is in response to the newsletter we just sent out this last Sunday. You can sign up for this newsletter at offgridagorist.com. It's a bi-weekly newsletter, and we talk about off-grid and agorism. It's pretty cool. So I mentioned at the very top of the newsletter, I mentioned that Biden is proposing a tax hike of 40% to people who net $1 million or more. If you have...
Well, he's talking about moving the bracket to 40%. He's not increasing it by 40. He's moving it from 21% to 40.
Yeah.
So something like that.
Close to doubling the tax rate on capital gains of $1 million or more. So my argument is that, okay, first off, $1 million isn't even that much money anymore, which is kind of sad. I mean, it's a lot of money. Yeah, I'd like $1 million, but it's not going to go nearly as far as it would have even 10 years ago.
Right.
Right. So my argument was, let's say you're a small business owner and you finally worked your butt off to the core and you finally netted $1 million, that Uncle Sam is going to literally take 400 grand of that. Which... Mm-hmm. And to me, that supports the agorist movement even further. You know, why wouldn't you be an agorist? You got to protect yourself from this tyranny. It's tyranny.
Yeah. No, Uncle Sam did not put in the 80-hour weeks and have all the stress and produce a product or service that other people wanted to create that wealth. Uncle Sam didn't do any of that. And is just going to just decides to choose a random number like 40. Oh, that's a nice round number. Let's take 40%. Like if they can take 40, they can take what is. Yeah. At what point do you become an agorist?
Yeah. At what point do you say, I just can't afford to even pay this, you know, 40%. That's an insane number. And you're right. Like you said, where is the cap? Where does it end? Because they magically pulled 40% out of their bums, not 38% or 42%.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you paying for? You know, what is that 400 grand giving you in return?
Well, the email gets into some of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do this. Okay. I'm excited for the email. So
I'm probably going to be interrupting you here and there for some commentary.
It has to be commentary, I'm sure. Okay, here we go. To whom it may concern, please try to refrain from bringing politics into things. I'm new to your forum and as such, not familiar with the usual topics that you discuss. But if politics are the norm, then I can live without your blog. Like, I'm going to comment right now.
Pause right there. Yeah. This is a good place to pause because what I find really funny right up front is he doesn't like the politics. So leave it out. From this point on, it's all politics.
That's all he talks about.
Well, not all, but he goes straight into politics. Yeah.
Well, it's hilarious. Yeah. It's like he could have just ended the email right there. And then I would have been like, oh, because we don't really get all that political, but I had to bring up this tax proposal because it's directly related to agorism. But right. Okay. I can't even say this without laughing. I fully support President Biden and his attempts to repair the damage done to our country by two of the last three presidents. The last ass clown we had was vastly incompetent and actually wanted to be a tyrant, so much that he attempted a coup d'etat on January 6th. That's something we've only seen in third world countries until now. Fortunately, the rule of law and democracy held fast, and his attempt at becoming a dictator failed miserably, just like everything else he touches. Oh my gosh.
So this is pretty funny, and this is pretty funny in a couple of different ways. Like, first off, apparently doesn't know what a coup d'etat is, but like, there was no military taking over the Capitol. There was none. Like, it was not even close to a coup d'etat. Like,
no.
So you don't know what that word means, that phrase means. But it's something we only see in third world countries until now. Mm. Okay. The next two sentences are just good examples of what happens when you divide the country and pit them against each other, red versus blue, whatever. Like, this person obviously believes all the talking points of the left.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the rule of law and democracy held fast. Democracy did not hold fast. Like, it is clearly debatable whether democracy happened in that election or not. It's clearly debatable. Mm. And in my opinion, doubtful. So it's just perfectly clear. He believes all the left talking points, and anyone else who says something different to this lying, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is never on the left or on the right. Like, it's always somewhere in the middle, because they both have their talking points.
Exactly. You know? Well, Trump was not a dictator, first off. He did not qualify as a dictator. He did not attempt to become a dictator. And like you said, it was not a coup, because a coup would have been, you know, military action, like the military sides with this particular individual to take over the Capitol. It was people that were supporting Trump went into the Capitol. And if you watch the video, they literally opened the doors for them to go into the Capitol. Like, if you actually
use like,
common sense.
Yeah, they're one of the people I like listening to. He's Peter Quinones, but he said in a country, they were calling it an insurrection and all this stuff, these people that went to the Capitol. He's like, in a country where there are hundreds of millions of weapons, none showed up at this insurrection. Like,
right.
Why are you calling it, you know?
That's a good point.
So, anyway, side note, but.
Okay, let's keep going. Yeah, that's pretty
bad. Keep going.
And G.W. Bush was almost as bad. He left our economy rolled over in a ditch with two Middle East wars to feed. Fortunately.
That asshole.
Oh. Fortunately, Obama wasn't afraid to borrow and spend the money that it took to tow us out of the hole. So wait, you're borrowing money to tow us out of the hole, to put us into more debt with more interest. Like, this person does not understand the concept of debt and borrowing. Clearly.
Yeah, because that always works. That always works. If you're behind on your bills a whole bunch, and you have more bills than you have money at the end of the month, what you should do is borrow more money.
Yes, because
that
absolutely
will get you out of that hole. It always works every time.
At like a 7% interest rate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It always works.
Oh yeah. Because that's what's going on now, is a government keeps borrowing money against itself with this money printing or money computing. It's not even printing. The printing press probably hardly even runs anymore. It's just typing in zeros in a computer.
Right.
Well, every time they type in zeros in a computer, like this $2 trillion stimulus, There's interest attached to that. And then in order to pay it off with interest, they print more money. It's a freaking Ponzi scheme. So because Ponzi schemes work to pay off America. America.
Anyways, America.
America. Now Biden is trying to heal the country after Orangey the Clown let an epidemic ruin our economy for the second time in 10 years. Oh my gosh. Orangey the Clown. I will admit, he does get a little orange.
That's hilarious. Hilarious. I love that line.
I love it. Not to mention letting hundreds of thousands of Americans die. Oh, yes, because Trump created the pandemic. And why? Because he was too vain to wear a mask. Now, that is pathetic. Wow. This is really mind-blowing.
It's easy to understand that a bunch of people would die because the president doesn't wear a mask.
Yes. He was too vain to wear a mask. So hundreds of thousands of Americans died. Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is President Trump was the first country to put a travel ban in from China. And people...
And they were bitching about it.
Yeah. And people cried about it. He banned Chinese travelers from coming into America to try and prevent the pandemic. And people were moaning and groaning about it. And now they're bitching that he didn't wear a mask. Yeah, you can't win for losing.
Well, it's because it's just that same old divide and conquer. It doesn't matter what the truth is. You have to sell your people on hating the other people, and you use whatever storyline at your disposal to do so. It doesn't matter if it's accurate or not.
Right. I mean, so far, all of these this is like bullet points from mainstream media, literally. Right. Wow. So please don't think you'll find a sympathetic ear with me. If you make $1 million, then pay your taxes. I don't foresee myself ever making that kind of money, no matter how many flat rocks I paint. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Okay, so now we're getting a little background of who this person is. So he paints flat rocks for a living, I suppose.
No, I think that is an attempt to make fun of our references on different kinds of ways you can make money. Like you had written about how he's ripping.
Oh yes, because I talked like
about.
You had
written about how you can take resources off of your property and to sell them. Yeah, and I think painting flat rocks was one of them. Now, here's a funny side note to that. I have a customer whose job is painting rocks and selling them on eBay.
Oh
and
wow,
she's killing it. She's
killing it. Yeah,
she's killing it.
Killing it.
Painting flat rocks.
I'm telling you, like, and I did talk about this in the last newsletter, you know, how to make money off grid. Cause a lot of people say, oh, I don't know how to make money off grid. And that's kind of their excuse. And I mentioned, you know, you collect natural resources. You can collect pine cones and sell them. You can collect driftwood. You can collect wood and make it into wood chips for smoking and sell them. And one of my things was, if you collect smooth flat rocks, there is this massive market of people, of women or men who sit at home at this point in the pandemic, you know, that are painting flat fucking rocks. I'm not even kidding. So if you have access to flat rocks, you can sell thousands of flat rocks to people. Like
for stupid money too. For stupid money.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're looking
I mean, to me, like if you're paying $10 for a rock that's painted, you know, that's a pretty good profit margin if you found the rock and spent 30 minutes painting it.
Right. Right. But you don't even need to paint it. You sell it to the people who paint it.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
No, you don't paint it, Cyrus. You sell the rock to the person who wants to paint it. Because if you live in a city or a suburb, you don't have access to flat rocks.
You can't find flat rocks.
So you buy it from somebody. Yeah. But you can paint it if you want. You can do both. You can sell plain flat rocks. You can paint flat rocks. Okay. But are you going to make $1 million off of it? I doubt it. Okay, I doubt not. But if you do, Uncle Sam wants 400 grand of it. So, you know, just keep that in mind.
Right.
Okay, this is okay. This
gets okay, boring. Moving on.
The reason I found your videos in the first place is because I am homeless and living in the desert where there are no services. I have no sympathy for anyone making so much money that it puts them into a higher tax bracket. Boo freaking who.
Wow. Yeah. So this is kind of like, now we kind of know where this person is coming from.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you are always for taxing other people
when you're,
if you're, yeah, living, when you're living on the taxpayer's dime.
Yes. Because there's no way he's homeless living, yeah, in the desert, which, with no services. He's obviously exaggerating. He has to have some support somewhere. And it's probably on the taxpayer
dime. Chances are, because he's talking the way that he's talking, that he's living on Slab City with a monthly check.
Right.
Or some such thing.
Right.
And that's just a guess. I don't know.
He's basically painting this for us, because if you're homeless in the desert with no services, you'd be dead. So there has to be some sort of, you know, socialistic services paying for this person. Maybe he should paint rocks. He actually probably would make pretty good money painting rocks. Probably.
Why would you do that if you're getting a free check, though?
Yeah, exactly. Why bother? You know, and then if he started painting flat rocks and had to pay 40% of his income, do you think he'd feel the same way?
No, he'd be happy to, I'm sure.
Oh, he'd love it. He'd love to fork it out. Mm-hmm. It has been socialist things like running water, grid electricity, sanitary sewer drainage, roads, schools, firefighters, police, healthcare, communications, etc., that have made most people's lives much easier than they were before they were instituted. If it wasn't for socialism, I dare say that we'd all be living off-grid and probably in a perpetually feral state of existence. Is this guy for real? Chasing down our foot on foot. Having average lifespans of 40 years tops. Socialism has saved the world.
So here's what's funny about that. He lists off all these great socialist things. Apparently, what this person doesn't know is that all of those things, with maybe the exception of sanitary sewer, those were all developed by the free market.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
And then the government comes in and co-ops it after the free market develops it.
Exactly. Yeah, they come in and regulate.
For example, the electric grid, like, that started in the 1880s, mm-hmm, right? And the first regulation of the grid wasn't until the 1930s. Right. So the government waited 50 years for private industry to build out this infrastructure, and then jumps in and starts saying, you know, there's some things we've got to fix about this. You guys have been doing it all wrong, apparently, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
We know better. We know better. This is how it ought to happen.
Well, and we're seeing that happen right now with cryptocurrencies. So, you know, a modern day relation would be, okay, cryptocurrencies have started totally privatized. I mean, it was, you know, it was a computer scientist that created the blockchain, and then the blockchain was monetized through all these different businesses and small business proprietors and developers and things. There was like no government interaction whatsoever in the beginning of crypto. I mean, it was awesome. It was the Wild West. I mean, so many things were developing, mm-hmm, at such a quickness and awesome projects. It really wasn't until the last few years that we had Uncle Sam come in and start regulating crypto. And now they want to make their, right, own digital dollar, their own centralized digital dollar that works off the blockchain. But blockchain did not start from the government. Just, right, like the off-grid, you know, the grid electricity didn't start from the government. Neither did roads. Wasn't, right, that Ford? Didn't Ford build all the roads in the beginning?
I really don't know the history of roads, except to say that but government was not building roads when cars were invented or when horses and buggies were in place, you know. From maybe in large city areas, large, you know, New York City and places like that, maybe, but there were a lot of private roads back in the day. People who built roads because their property was positioned in a place where someone would want to get from A to B, and the best way to get there was across their property. They'd build a road for them and then they'd charge them. You know, it was a toll road, which exactly. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but
I'm almost positive that Henry Ford, when he built the Model T, there were no paved roads for these Model Ts to go down. So he financed putting in all of the highways back then. He privately built the highway so he could sell his cars. I'm almost positive that is the history. I'd really have to go look back, but I know that roads did not start out with the government.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like, let's pretend that government never got into being the mediator of road buildings, because they don't build roads anyway. Let's make sure that's clear. Government does not build roads. People who know how to build roads, build roads. Government is the man in the middle taking your money and giving it to them and keeping a cut. Let's pretend that government never got involved in road building. Are we to assume that roads just would not have happened? Like businesses who wanted to transport goods from point A to point B would not have been able to figure out a way to transport their goods from point A to point B without government. I mean, it's just a ridiculous notion, in my opinion, because number one, government is stupid and the free market is smart.
Yeah. And
just look around. It's not hard to figure out. But another, I wanted to go back to about his list of socialist things that we couldn't live without. I'm not really against social ideas. The idea of a community coming together to create something that benefits the community. I'm not against that idea. I think it's a good idea in a lot of cases. What I'm against is a third party getting in the middle of that and forcing me to give them my money so that they can spend it in the way that they see fit. That's what I'm against.
Yeah, that's the.
And a good example of that is where I live. The fire departments are volunteer. It's a pretty daggum good fire department. Like those guys are on the spot when there's a fire. And it's kind of like this, it's kind of like this subculture around here. Like if you're a volunteer fireman, like you hang out in a group of other volunteer firemen and they're all tricking out their trucks with lights. You know, they're using their own personal trucks to get to the fires. And so they've got these sirens and big CB antennas and stuff like that. It's like a little subculture around here.
Nice.
But those guys are good at what they're doing, and it's volunteer. You know, it's the community getting together and supporting a fire department through, like they do pancake breakfasts and spaghetti dinners, and you go eat and you pay a little too much for a meal, but it goes to the fire department, right? So it's, you know, it's how the community supports them.
Yeah.
And then you can, they mail a deal out to you once a year. Hey, do you want to send some money to the fire department?
So they go off of private donations
to do it.
Yeah, they go off private donations, right? Is that what that means?
Right.
The volunteer fire department. I guess I'm not aware if they get government money. Do they?
I don't know. It might be possible that they get some portion of
some
county
sort of
money.
Subsidy. Yeah.
Maybe, but it's, you know, it's not enough to run a fire department.
Right. Yeah.
Like the county might help them buy equipment or something like that. Or maybe the county makes sure they have the ability to borrow the money or something. I'm not sure how it all works, but it is a community funded fire department.
Interesting.
I think the fire chief gets a salary, but I'm not even sure about that. But I was just saying that to say that, you know, there are ways to do socialist community projects without government. You don't have to have government to live in a socialist community. If you want to live in a socialist community, you can do it without government.
Yeah, you don't need big government to step in and regulate everything to death and bureaucrat everything to death and tax everything to death.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and back when schools were provided on a volunteer basis through community funding, they were a lot better. Like people who got educated in the 1800s were pretty well educated.
Yeah.
And people who are educated under public education now, myself included, I don't have the same vocabulary that someone who was educated in 1870 had.
Well, they just push the kids
through. I've read the books.
They push the kids through, especially with the COVID bullshit. Like, they're just passing kids. Like, you don't have to really do anything anymore. They'll just pass you right through. So they're getting literally no form of education. You can get Fs and you're going to graduate. So there's no accountability. Mm-hmm. It's literally just for indoctrinating into the system to make worker bees. Yeah. That's what Rothschild said. Basically, that education's public indoctrination camps.
Yeah, they're just producing good citizens.
Yeah, to make good worker bees, to fall in line and pay their taxes and not question authority and stick to a schedule and show up even when you're sick, even when you're this or that, you know?
Right.
All right.
Moving on
to the next paragraph. Let's see. I'll tell you how many paragraphs there are. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 more paragraphs to go. We used to call that progress and civilization. But now some people, it seems, actually want the world to be an everyone for themselves and a survival of the fittest competition. They want to de-evolve back in time because they have imagined that the world was a better place back then. But it wasn't. Life was much more difficult and harsh. RVs didn't exist and solar panels weren't invented. I feel like he's like taking stabs at me personally, isn't he?
I don't know. But that's just another example. RVs and solar panels, private industry. Move on.
Yeah, very private industry. Yeah. Yeah, you know, life was different, but in ways it was more difficult, in ways it was much easier too. So there's 2 sides to the coin. Oh boy. Now this paragraph. If you're going to pretend to be rugged, then do it right. Do it just like Jeremiah Johnson. Otherwise, earn your million, pay your taxes, and appreciate all that you have received and taken from the world, including the ability to make that $1 million. If it weren't for taxes being paid into our government, the opportunities to make $1 million would be far fewer. Someone who makes that $1 million benefited from the government services the we, you and me, made available to them and their customers by paying our taxes. If it weren't for those services we provided, then they probably wouldn't have made $1 million. In fact, they probably would have only made 10% of that without what our government has created. So if we take 40% of that $1 million back from that millionaire, because they and their customers use that much government to make that $1 million of profit possible, then our government will be there for the next person to use it to make their $1 million profit. Oh my. Okay, that is ass at backwards. Are you kidding me? Is he for real? Is this person, now I think he is joking. I think you might be right. This is just a grand comedy skit. Holy crap. I mean,
I love how he just throws out that random number that in fact they probably would have only made 10%. Like, yeah, just a random,
not 20%.
I figure 10% without taxes you could only make $100,000. You can't make $1 million without everybody paying their taxes. Like, it's the most asinine.
So asinine. Oh,
I shouldn't say that about it, but it's just crazy. To
how the flying fuck does taxes, how has taxes enabled us to make money as individual entrepreneurs? Like, I don't really understand that connection. Like, is he talking about building the infrastructure, or
this person believes that all that infrastructure, all those socialist things that he listed could not have happened without government.
That's insane.
And so because people paid their taxes and the government took care of these systems, that it's the use of those systems that allowed people to make millions.
But none of those things started as the government, like we just went over. None of those things, like he's talking about food, growing food. Government doesn't grow food. Government taxes the farmers or subsidizes the farmers or buys out their property. Like they have nothing to do with growing food. The farmers are the small business entrepreneur growing the damn food.
Yeah, government doesn't do healthcare either.
No, they've ruined government's ruined
in the middle of it.
Yeah, they just get in the middle of it and make it a disgusting bureaucratic mess. Wow, that's it just it amazes me that people's
my argument would be that I would argue that in spite of the government, people have still managed to make millions of dollars.
I feel like people would have made more than millions of dollars if the government didn't exist, because you'd have more opportunities for businesses. You'd have more opportunity. Like we've talked about the private court system. That was a really cool episode. Privatizing law.
Justice. Yeah.
Okay. They're taking business opportunities away through their bureaucracy, through bureaucrating businesses out of business, through taxation, through taking business opportunities and making them governmental entities. So actually what's happening is quite the opposite.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Interesting. Government is what you and I and our predecessors created. I didn't create it. Over the course of the last 200 years to build this country, we created it by working as a single cohesive unit, pooling our resources, working together in unity, unified like a country, like a united country, a country called the United States.
Yeah, I feel like I got to stand up and put my hand over my heart.
I had to salute to that one. I mean, okay.
I don't know where he gets this idea that we did this as a cohesive unit. I mean, that's pretty funny. I don't think there's been anything cohesive in a really long time. Well, not since the Civil War, I would say. Like,
right. Well, and that's what that's what Lysander Spooner talks about back in, when did he write that? When did he write that book?
Which one?
His original piece.
I don't know what his original piece is, but I think you're probably talking about Constitution of No Authority.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know when he wrote that. 1870s, I want to say, but I'm not sure that's right.
So he talked about in the Constitution of No Authority, right? That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how. Yes, no treason. No treason.
Yeah.
He talked about how the government was put in by a handful of individuals and how none of us really consented to the Constitution.
Right.
And how you can't be legally bound by it because you never consented to this document that was created by, what, 6-8 dudes? Like, that's his whole argument. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
No treason. We did a whole podcast episode on that. Check it out in the archives.
And there's tons of good information about no treason, the Constitution of No Authority. It's like the agorist. It's one of their holy texts, you might say, kind of like all the agorists and most of the libertarians love that book.
Yeah.
So there's lots of information about it.
But, you know, when he says that we created this government, I had no part in creating this government. You had no part in creating this government. I never consented to being taxed and to being regulated and possibly thrown in jail for doing things that they don't think are appropriate.
Or murdered if you resist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the way up to, you know, paying the ultimate price. So I think that's a completely delusional statement. Final paragraph. When you get up in age and you're not so swift on your feet, you'll regret not having neighbors nearby to do welfare checks on you. You'll regret having wanted to be left alone, because that is what will happen. dying alone is not admirable or pleasant. It's sad and scary. You'll see. So he like goes all the way to the ultimate end. Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a climax.
Right.
I mean, that's dying a grand alone. Finale. You're going to pay the price with your life because you're going to die alone because we're off grid. And our neighbor, because we don't believe in, you know, government control, our neighbors are just going to stop checking in on us, and our friends and family won't be there for us because we don't.
Because we disagree with government, we must also disagree with community.
Yeah. What?
As where if did it's that one come? And the same.
Okay, that last paragraph.
I don't know. I like how he signs off. I like how kindest he signs regards. Off too. After all of that, kindest regards.
Oh, you can't make this shit up, Cyrus. You can't make this shit up.
It was a good one.
Wow.
We don't get many emails like this. I think we've had like two where people were kind of on our ass about something.
Nothing to this extreme level of, you know, we're going to die alone. We're dying alone. Like, he really went all the way, didn't he?
Right.
But that's how these people's minds work. No wonder why it's hard to get through to people in this mind state, because they are, it's an extremism, you know, it's extremism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did respond. If you want to see my response, you're just going to have to go over to the Applied Agorism group on MeWe.com.
Right.
It's pretty funny. I think you'll like it, but that's where it lives if you want. Read my response.
Cool. Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
I'm good. I felt that we needed to share that email because it was just so enlightening. Like I am a completely different person from reading that email. Like I'm going to make $1 million just so I can pay 400 grand to the government so I don't die alone. And I'm going to do it by painting rocks.
Right. And you know, you'll, because of that, people behind you will be able to make millions of dollars too.
Good. For my $400,000. Yes.
Yeah.
Because people can't make money without being taxed halfway to death. Jesus. No,
because infrastructure is impossible without government. They're just.
Yes.
We'd be dirty. It's too.
We'd be dirty heathens rolling around in the mud if it wasn't for government.
Barefoot chasing rabbits around trying to eat. That's all we'd be able to do.
Shit, we'd still be cavemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well. Head on over to offgridagorist.com. You can find our free PDFs. You can find our eBooks. You can listen to all our episodes. You can send us an email. I'd love to hear people's responses to our friend's email here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
It would also be like, we didn't call this person out by name, so you're free to remain anonymous, but you know, if you want to come on the show, I think that'd be pretty cool. We could interview you and try to convince us. I mean, I wouldn't use the same tactics that you used in the email, but maybe you have some better points you'd like to make.
Yeah, that would be very fun. Yeah. And the email was composed beautifully. The grammar, super correct. Spelling, there's not a single spelling mistake. I mean, this was a well thought out, well composed email with a lot of very interesting points. I mean, I actually really enjoyed it. So we'd love to have you on the show. If you know, living in the desert with no services would allow you to be on the show. But I imagine being that this person could send an email that they could manage to make an appearance. So.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
And especially if we're wrong and this is not a serious email and this was actually just brilliant comedic writing, I really want you to call in.
Yeah, I've got to know.
For sure, I want to talk to you.
I've got to know because I'm convinced that this person is being very serious. So I think they're serious. Mm-mm-mm. All right, y'all. Until next time.
Talk to you later.
Later.